Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you experience and know, at this time of the year, it's common for the world and for man to boast in his kingdom, in his city. Still, of course, has much to do in order to finish the construction of his global city of the nations of the earth. United Nations, of course, has not solved the deep divisions that exist between the Jews and the Muslims, and the Christian West and the pagan East. Nevertheless, we can see even tonight that economically, politically, commercially, as far as transportation is concerned, even socially, but also religiously, nations are much closer than they have been for many hundreds of years. There's still much disunity, much individualism that hinders the spirit of Antichrist from its ultimate goal of a one-world global city, but as we know, as Christ has prophesied, that day will come. And as that day comes, the boast of man becomes louder. We hear that boast today. Man boasts in his military might, his economic ability, in his technology. Even boasts that he has discovered new and cleaner sources of energy. Boasts in his medical technology and advancements. Even boasts in his religions as the way to true peace and the way to solve the misery and the problems of life. Begins to boast in his ability to save himself, to fix his problems, to overcome what divides the nation. He boasts in his own saviors and himself to establish his city of righteousness and peace without God, without the true God and the true righteousness and the true peace of Jehovah. But that city of man cannot last. It will not last because it's under God's judgment, which the end of the year always reminds man there is an end coming. The day of the Lord is at hand. The wrath of the Lamb is nigh. And that city of man will be destroyed. In contrast to that city of man, what a wonderful thing, beloved, to consider then this night and celebrate with the psalmist the glory of the city of God, Zion. Our city, by grace alone. As the psalm reminds us, this city has its foundation in the holy mountains. God has established its foundation. In fact, God loves the gates of this city. And glorious things have been spoken in regards to this city. It's true, terrible things have been spoken in regards to this city by the world and the false church and the unbelieving. But as far as what is important, what God says, what God has spoken regarding that city, glorious things have been spoken. Because in that city, God has determined to dwell and show his glory in Zion. The question is, as we see that city set before us in the psalm, who shall belong to that glorious city of God? Who can belong to that glorious city of God? And who decides this citizenship in that city of God, that Zion? How long does this city last? How does one enter the gates of this city? All of these things, of course, as our text teaches us, depend upon Jehovah's count. The Lord, Jehovah, shall count when he writes up the people that this man was born there. Or we could read it this way, the Lord shall count in the writings of the people, in the list, in the book of the peoples, that this man, this woman, this child was born there in Zion. Let's consider then this evening for a few moments the text under this theme, Jehovah's count. Jehovah's count. Well, notice, first of all, what will Jehovah count? And secondly, when will Jehovah count? And thirdly, our personal question this night is, will Jehovah count me? Jehovah's count. What will Jehovah count? The text makes clear that Jehovah does count. He shall count. And indeed, there is a lot of counting that goes on in the world today. The government at the end of the year is concerned about the number of citizens in the country. Who is employed? Who is unemployed? How many are in the armed forces? The government wonders. The government counts its assets, also the size of its debt. Stores count their inventory. People count their dollars to see what their net worth may be. And of course, tonight, from time zone to time zone, and soon in our time zone too, the people count the hours, the minutes, the seconds until midnight, till 2016 arrives in God's providence. And if we are wise, according to Psalm 90, we also will count tonight our days. And when we realize, as we sang in Psalter 107, that our life is just a breath, and we will be sure to set our hearts upon the ways of wisdom. Yes, much counting must go on tonight. But of special interest to us as the people of God is Jehovah's count. What does God count? Well, you children know, we even sing of that in the Psalter, God counts the stars at night. He counts the fish in the sea. He counts the sand, the grains of sand upon the seashore. He counts the hairs of our head. He counts the nations, according to Isaiah 40, verse 12. He says through the prophet, he has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. He counts all of those things. That counting of Jehovah expresses to us the attribute of God's omniscience. God doesn't count the way we count. As you count the cookies in the cookie jar, children, you might wonder, well, I'm going to count how many are here because I want to know something that I don't know. I need to know how many cookies are in this cookie jar so then I can alert my mother that it's time to make more. God doesn't count that way. God doesn't count to learn something that he does not already know. God knows the number before he counts. And when he has finished counting, there is no mismatch between what is counted and what he knew would be counted. His counting is exact. You see, the counting of Jehovah is a human expression applied to Jehovah, which helps us, our finite understandings, begin to understand that when God takes thought of his creatures, when he looks at them and counts them, he knows them all. He knows all their numbers. He knows their size, their place. The God of omniscience is, you see, Jehovah of hosts. This night we confess he is in control. He knows what's going on. Nothing surprises him. He knows, he counts the hosts of his creation. The numbers are always before him. That is true of what God counts here in the psalm, we're told. When we read of the city of God, that implies that there are angels whom God counts, because the angels will also share in that completed glory of Zion. He has counted the fallen angels. He knows their total. He knows they are reserved to the judgment of hell. He also has counted the holy angels. Number? We don't know that number. We don't have the mind of the Lord to understand that number. But God knows. He's counted them all. Exactly. And with that same precision, the psalm teaches us that God counts people. Though we are specks of dust, God still counts people. Interestingly, wicked Balaam speaks of that ability of Jehovah when he said in Numbers 23, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and number and the number of the fourth part of Israel?" Well, we know the answer to that question. God does. In fact, Job said, "Doth not God see my ways and count all my steps?" And Job was speaking literally about his steps in life. Yes, God knows the number of them too. Well, if God can count our steps in life, how many steps we take forward from here to there, certainly he also has counted. He's counted your heartbeats. We might count them at the doctor's office for a minute, and that's it, and then we move on to something else, but God knows exactly how many heartbeats from when your heart began to beat in your mother's womb to the day it will stop. And then we'll continue again in the resurrection. He knows the number. He counts the nations. He counts the people. That's the power of God's omniscience and his providence. Beloved, tonight the Lord focuses on that special count of Jehovah in his salvation. God counts the citizens of Zion, we read and we're taught. He counts them by name. He does not call out and say, so-and-so, or who are you, to learn who we are so that he can figure out when he is done counting exactly now how many citizens there are in Zion. God knows us by name. He counts each one of the citizens of Zion to declare to us what he already knows about who will belong to Zion. God's counting is exact. He doesn't make miscounts. He doesn't need to start over. Counting is infallible, and his counting is powerful. So powerful because this counting is part of the reason why the citizens of Zion belong to Zion and have a place in Zion, the city of God. And as the text implies, that counting of Jehovah also is sovereign. It discriminates who will belong to Zion and who will not belong to Zion. That's his count. And what's amazing about this count is, though no one deserves to be counted, God does count the citizens of Zion. And he notes their origin, and notes that their origin in the psalm is from everywhere else but Zion itself. They didn't originate in Zion. They came from, the psalm teaches, Rahab, which means Egypt. They came from Egypt, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia, from the nations of the earth. And if we think about those nations listed there, that means the citizens of Zion came from nations which were pagan, steeped in idolatry. The origins of the citizens of Zion in the psalm are from places outside the land of Canaan, from places in the kingdom of man, places of idolatry. And that's still true today concerning the citizens of Zion. All of the citizens of Zion have their natural citizenship, their natural birth, their natural origin in the kingdom of this world. By nature, we are all children of wrath, aliens to the commonwealth of the city of God. Nevertheless, the Lord counts in Zion, a city full of citizens. And when he counts, in the second place, we see that the Lord notes their origin is from the nations of the earth, from all the different tribes and languages and nations of the earth. So that we read, when he counts this citizen and that citizen and this one, that family line, they came from this place and from Tyre and from Egypt and Babylon and Philistia and Syria and so on, and the uttermost parts of the earth. From all those places where we in our wisdom would think God could never have citizens for Zion in that place, that's where he gathers the outcasts of Israel and names them, counts them in Zion. What explains that? The answer is grace, beloved. God's sovereign, wondrous grace. For God dwells in Zion, beloved. He has set his king there, Jesus Christ. That's what makes it the holy city, a glorious city where God dwells and whose foundations then are established forever. How is it then that those who have their origin in the kingdom of this world can be brought into the presence of the glory of Jehovah in Jesus Christ in his city? Should not they be consumed? The answer is no. Jehovah counts when he writes up or reads in the writings of the people that these were born here in Zion. That's a wonder of grace, for we by nature would never want to join that city of God. Joining the city of God means that we confess that of ourselves we're totally depraved. We have no righteousness of ourselves. We deserve to be destroyed forever, and the only reason that we have a place in the city of God is God himself, his virtue. Specifically, his grace and his love and his mercy. And it's that grace that takes hold of us sovereignly, unconditionally. And in that favor, Jehovah counts his people as citizens of Zion. He counts them to himself, as 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10 teach, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Only grace and mercy explain that. As the Lord goes on to say in 1 Peter 2, verse 10, in time past, you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have obtained mercy. That gracious, merciful counting of Jehovah, that's determinative or citizenship or membership in Zion. Membership roles in the Church Institute, although important, they're not determinative. It's Jehovah's count, the count that he constantly keeps, the census that Jehovah constantly keeps. That is all determinative for citizenship in Zion, in the city of God, in the heavenly Jerusalem, in that eternal life, in that city whose builder and maker is God, whose foundation is in that eternal righteousness of Christ. And that implies then the admonition to you and me this evening, do not trust. Never trust in your works, your wisdom, even your act of believing. Do not trust in your money. Do not trust in yourselves as a reason, even in the slightest, as the reason we are counted in Zion. Not at all. We're looking carefully at another year that has passed in 2015. We have 365 days of abundant testimony that citizenship in the city of God is humanly impossible if it were based on what we have done or who we are of ourselves. Impossible. Beloved, trust with all your heart in that grace of Jehovah alone. For because of that favor of Jehovah alone, God counts his people. God counts us in Zion and not among those who perish in his wrath. Yes, Jehovah counts. When will he do that? Well, the text implies that there are various points of time in history when God has counted. He performs his count in eternity, first of all. Jehovah's counting in eternity, then. The counting of his people in Christ in election. That's the counting where God knows his people. He has predestinated them in love. He sees them in Christ, in his counsel. Then in the second place, God has counted his people, for example, at the cross of Calvary, in the mediator Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus said to us, "All that the Father hath given to me," implying that the Father gave a specific number of people to Jesus, and for them Jesus died. Jesus said, "I know my sheep. I know them one by one. I call them," which implies he knows each one and calls them by name. It implies that God has counted them and counted them out to Jesus and given them to him by name. And for them, Jesus laid down his life so that when he died on the cross, he counted the cost of what it would take to die for them and counted exactly for whom he would die and pay that price of his atonement. And further, Jesus could confidently say, because Jehovah counts, and he is God, he could say, "All that the Father hath given to me, I shall not lose one." That's how precise the counting of Jehovah is, even at the cross of Calvary. And that means all those then, and them alone for whom Jesus died, have citizenship in Zion, established by Christ. Not as some remote possibility conditioned upon whether they're going to do something or not, but established as an inheritance, something that must be fulfilled as soon as Jesus dies and has said and finished that payment of that price and that atonement. It must be then fulfilled in those for whom Jesus died. So that in the third place, Jehovah counts again the citizens of Zion when the Holy Spirit, through regeneration and calling, establishes what Christ has merited for us on the cross. He counts that this one was born here in Zion, the text teaches. Ah, that's regeneration. Jehovah counts when he adopts us by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For the text speaks of being born out of Zion or in Zion, born of the King of Zion, who is called in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in that Prince of Peace, we have the right of citizenship in Zion, and now that full life of Zion, because by the Holy Spirit we are joined to Him. Out of Him receive that glory life of Zion. So that we understand and know that count of Jehovah, the Holy Spirit continues to work that life of Zion in you and me. He calls us by the gospel preached and by the inner working of the Holy Spirit so that we begin to hear and to see that good news of our new citizenship and our new life in the way of repentance, in the way of believing, in the way of daily conversion. We become aware of Jehovah's gracious count. We begin by the Spirit to live in that new citizenship in a lifelong battle against the remnants of that old citizenship in the kingdom of darkness. Whenever the Lord comes to us in His Word and works in us by the gospel of salvation, He counts. According to the record of the book, this man, this woman, this child was born here in Zion, the city of the great king. Then that's tied, beloved, to the emphasis of the psalm of that counting of Jehovah at the end of time, in the final census. The final census before the throne of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the moment, that is the time when our justification, when our full citizenship shall be made public. Christ will publicly appear, Christ will call all before Him, for He is the judge, He is Lord of lords. He will open the books. Judgment according to their consciences and according to their works and according to the other book, the book of life. And He shall render His final judgment before all the nations of the earth, before all men, but especially make that final judgment regarding His people and show before all that, yes, God has been perfectly righteous, completely righteous in His dealings with not just everyone in history, but especially those who are counted in Zion. When God counts in the final census, He shall count in that special list of the peoples in the book of life. He shall, as the psalm indicates in its poetic way, He shall show, He shall read, so-and-so, yes, this one is born in Zion, next, yes. Show, yes, that this one and that one and each one was born in Zion just as God has willed, just as Christ died, just as it has been declared in the gospel to them. So it is now made clear before all, yes, this one was born in Zion. God shall declare your deliverance publicly, for which you have labored, and perhaps for which you have suffered. He will show publicly the amazing wonder that the citizens of Zion, though their origins have been in idolatry and sin in the kingdom of darkness, and from all the nations of the earth, that they are made one in God's Zion, God's city, which lasts forever. And he will show that he has made that possible through the Lamb, which was slain, but has risen, and now is at that throne judging in righteousness. Jehovah's final count, then, must take place. It will take place soon. And not one of those written in the Lamb's Book of Life in that list shall be missing. Oh, but will we be counted, beloved? We might wonder, what about me? Will I be counted? When we count our past days in this year, we may have reasons to wonder. We see our sinfulness, our proneness to wander. We discover, as far as counting goes, that our sins are more than we can count, aren't they? Does Jehovah count my sin? Well, we know he does count sin. He counts up all the sins of the world, of the wicked, and he doesn't miss any sin in the world. We might think from our perspective, wow, the world is getting away with all kinds of sin. No, the Lord counts that too in his righteousness, and he will make them pay. The Lord speaks of that in the Bible, makes that very clear in the judgments. The fire coming out of heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, the Lord counts, and the Lord makes the wicked pay. If the Lord does that to the world, what about me? Does not Jehovah mark out my sin and count them up in order that I pay for them? Will I be counted among those who will be cast and sent into everlasting punishment? Oh, yes, beloved, we must weep over our sins. Sins are more than we can count. And we deserve what the world receives, absolutely. But the message of the gospel tonight is, beloved, fear not. Fear not, citizens of Zion. There is the good news of the text. Yes, Jehovah counted your sins, but he does not count your sins against you. No. He counted those sins and put the sum total and sum number of them all upon Christ. Christ, having counted them, for he is the wisdom of God, took them to the cross, and he nailed them there, every single one of them, paid the entire price of all of those sins. And he paid for that in his own blood. And by his obedience to all the commandments of God, he earned for you that new citizenship in the city of God, in Zion, and earned for you the life of that kingdom also, so that because of Jesus Christ and him alone, Jehovah counts you. This one, born in Zion, the city of the great king. And we know that to be true, not by guessing, not by speculation. No, that is true. The Lord confirms that in us by the fruits of faith which his Spirit, the Spirit of that Zion, works in you and me. He works in us the beginning of that new citizenship. We begin to speak the language of that city, wear the clothing of that city, do the customs of that city, eat the food that's eaten in that city. And we put away the customs and the clothing and the things of this world and find them loathsome. And having that new life in us, we weep over our sin. We delight in the righteousness of that city of God and the peace of that city of God and the king of that city and his truth and his cause. And we find refuge in his blood from the coming wrath of God upon the world. They turn from their wicked ways and seek the ways of the living God alone. Therein is implied a warning to us, beloved, those who do not take refuge in the blood of Christ but find something else to take refuge in, or those who do not turn from their wicked ways, they cannot rightfully expect to be counted by Jehovah. No. You must walk in the ways of the Lord, ways of the King of Zion. Delight in his word, rejoice in his commandments, trust in him alone for all things necessary for body and soul. That's the Lord's call to you and me. Those born in Zion will delight in the king of that Zion and the God who dwells there, who is Jehovah, the covenant God, who is the reason why there is a city, the reason why we have life in Zion everlasting. That makes us humble, beloved, very humble, and very thankful. And it makes us to marvel at the wonder of God to count from the nations of the earth, from the kingdom of man, an innumerable company of citizens in Zion. That's amazing. And what's even more amazing is that God counts you and me in that multitude. Believe that word of God, beloved, and look forward then to the end of history when you, with all the citizens of the kingdom of Zion, gathered from the nations of the earth, may rejoice and sing what the psalm ends with. Yes, all my fountains are in thee, O Zion, O city of God. In Zion? Yes, because there in the midst of Zion dwells Jehovah, the God of our salvation, who has counted us among the citizens of Zion. Amen. Let us